And wake up, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Today, as every day, when we come together, we present our student hosts, Brielle Claire, and the real deal, Justin Hill. In just a moment, I'll be bringing on our one panelist, Mr. Shelton Harris, and the young people will be taking over the show. But before they do, I'd like to say, music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. Thank you for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, I'd like to introduce Mr. Shelton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay, so I'm going to take the liberty jumping right on top of the musical selection right at the beginning of the show. I played Miriam Makeba. And help me out here. Who is she and what's the significance of that particular song?
Yeah, Pata Pata. That's the name of the song. But it's she was a South African activist. And, you know, and she was one of the first ones that was able to go around the world and use her music to spread the kind of stuff that we needed to be, get done in South Africa. This was when Nelson Mandela was still in jail. There was still a lot of apartheid going on. And even when Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture, when he left the country, he married Miriam Makeba. And, you know, and they continue with their activist activities. And, you know, to her death, she had a lot of good songs. She wrote about Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, and, you know, and a lot of stuff that was going on down in South Africa and really over the whole diaspora of African people around the world. She was an outspoken person.
Mr. Harris, yeah, you know, Mr. Harris, I have to ask you, is it true that she was run out of South Africa and she wasn't allowed to come back in because of her outspokenness?
Absolutely. You know, she was exiled from her own country, just as Hugh Masekela was when he was doing the same thing. You know, because a lot of people who want to keep certain systems in place, they don't want to have a lot of people out there thinking other than they or having you think in the first place. You know, your oppressor doesn't want you to understand that freedom is something that is yours, and if they don't give it to you, you can take it. And this is what Mary McKeeba, along with a lot of other people, were talking about. It was the like a fight against, you know, racism, white supremacy, like Dr. Wilson used to say.
Okay. All right. We do mean to start out our podcast that way. And we are Quest Youth Radio. And without any further ado, I want to say good morning to Brielle Claire. Good morning, Brielle.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. And now the real deal, Justin Hill. Justin, I'm going to request, ask you humbly, if I can, to start out your first segment on Carter G. Woodson, and I'd like for you to just take it away. Good morning.
History is like a diamond. Each film represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, you are bound to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on Carter G. Woodson. Carter G. Woodson was born on December 19th, 1875, and died April 3rd. He was an American historian, author, journalist, and the founder of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. Wilson was an important figure to the movement of Afrocentrism due to his perspective of placing people of African descent at the center of the study of history and the human experience. He taught at historically black colleges, Howard University and West Virginia State University, but spent most of his career in Washington, D.C., managing the ASALH, public speaking, writing, and publishing. And that the reason why I chose Carnegie Wilson for my segment was because, like I said, he is an important figure in to the movement of Afrocentrism. And now that is it for my first segment of today. And make sure, and also, I am student host Justin Hill.
Okay. Any information as to the Black History week, which turned into a month? Justin.
Also, Carnegie Wilson, he was the founder of Black History Month, and also it started as a week, then it grew into a month.
And what's significant about that?
What's significant about that is how we have a whole month basically every day, every year, we talk about Black history, but especially in Black History Month, we highlight all the African American activists.
Okay, you want to hand it over to your co-host?
Now I want to pass it over to Brio.
And good morning, everybody. It is Brielle, and I'm here with my first segment for today on Jack Roosevelt Robinson, a.k.a. Jackie Robinson. Jack was born on January 31st, 1919. When he became a little older, Jack's father left him and his family before they moved to Pasadena, California. He went to Pasadena Junior College and was an outstanding athlete at his school. He did well in football, basketball, and baseball. He left the UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, to help his mom take care of the family. In 1943, he entered the U.S. Army and attended the Officer Candidate School. Jackie was faced with trouble when he refused to sit in the back of the military bus. He decided to leave the military and join professional football in Hawaii along with playing baseball with the Kansas City Monarchs of the Negro American League. He enjoyed baseball more, so he looked for the right candidate. He wanted that to be his career, but feared that he wouldn't be able to because of racist things happening to him that can block his success. He signed up to play in the International League. He played in Brooklyn and was immediately chosen Rookie of the Year and was voted Most Valuable Player. He made it into baseball's team with the other white people being the only black person. Fans protested against African Americans and gave him dirty looks and death threats. No matter how many times he wanted to leave, he held it all in and just played. He retired and spoke about it in the NAACP, and he unfortunately died on October 24th, 1972. And again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my segment on Jackie Robinson.
Okay, so Justin, is there anything you want to ask Brielle?
What motivated you to choose Jackie Robinson?
What motivated me to choose Jackie Robinson
is one because I actually really like baseball, and I feel like it's very important that he had a lot of courage to be the first person to play baseball, like the first African-American to play baseball, knowing that there was a lot of trouble going on. So I feel like that was really important, and that's what motivated me to do Jackie Robinson.
Okay. All right. I want to bring in, first of all, Justin, did you have an opportunity to see if, and you might have mentioned it, and maybe I just didn't hear, the fact that Carter G. Woodson was a writer as well? Did you see that in your research?
Can you say it again? I didn't hear you.
In your research, were you able to find out that Carter G. Woodson was a writer as well?
No.
Okay. So I want you to pull out your notepad and take notes, because I'm going to have Mr. Harris, if you may, Mr. Harris, chime in on the writing skills and what he actually wrote and the significance of that. Mr. Harris, would you do us the honor?
Yeah, okay. Well, when it comes down to Carter G. Woodson, because like Justin was saying, he was a real advocate of the Afrocentric approach to history, and he taught in a lot of black colleges. You know, one of the books he wrote is kind of talking about how the education system has really not been true when it came to adding people of color to the regular curriculum. So he wrote a book called The Miseducation of the Negro. And it was a very important book. And, you know, and it brings up a lot of the stuff that he had always talked about Afrocentricity. You know, he brought up the fact that we need to talk about in our regular school curriculum how black people are not just part of slavery and the little comeback from slavery, but black people have always been a part of history, period. You know, before slavery, we were doing a bunch of stuff for tens of thousands of years before any other culture really started to grow. We were already doing things. So he thought it was important that people of color understood that. And, you know, and he tried to fight against the people who were trying to hide that kind of history from at least the youth. Because, you know, once you understand that you are greater than you've been told, maybe you'll be able to do greater things, because, you know, it's not new. It's something that your people have been doing all along. So Carter G. Woodson was very instrumental in that. That was really one of my favorite books, you know, because it opened my eyes to a lot of things that I wasn't aware of at the time. And it's a book, it's not a hard read. It's something that you might want to look into yourself, you and Brielle. I guess you can get it on Kindle or whatever this thing. You don't have to buy the book, but it's important to read the kind of stuff that he was talking about. And it's very important today. He wrote this stuff 100 years ago, and we're still going through the same stuff today with this CRT stuff, you know. But that's what I could add as far as his writing.
Oh,
you know, he was very
all
important.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Harris. Thank you very much. I just want to chime in and add, Justin and Brielle, The Miseducation of the Negro is the title of the book. And my take from that particular book, and I must add and co-tell with Mr. Harris, when I say that is one of my favorite books, because it substantiated, right? It supported things that I believed already, right, from being raised in a conscious family. And what was those things? That the educational system in America was basically designed to keep African Americans, Negroes being called at that time, subservient to the system. They wanted to educate black people to a level to be servants, so that they can work for the man. I hate to say it like that, but that kind of gets to the point that I'm trying to make, right? As long as you have a group of people that are working subserviently, diligently for another group of people and helping to build other people's businesses, the white power structure, the European power structure in America designed an educational system that would have black people do just that. We want to educate you to a level so that you are able, capable, and competent enough to work for us, but we don't want you to go past this particular point. Yes, there is a glass ceiling that you will not be able to rise through. You will not be able to go past a certain point of education. But what has happened because of Carter G. Woodson is we have surpassed that glass ceiling and broke through, and we still fight today, and the struggle still continues. And with that being said, I'm going to play a song, and on the other side, we're going to come back and have Brielle pick up. And you guys, Brielle and Justin, remember the handoff, you know? Let's do the co-host thing. And right now, musically, check it out.
Bringing all your ruckus to all never stop. Boy Scout, who I be, flip mode is Bernard. Bust your rhymes, break it down like this. Yo, which mother stole my flow? Me, my, me, bo. Throw them type of right out my window. Blast your hit you with a direct blow. Blow, coming through like G.I. Joe. Star Wars moving ill like Han Solo. Make you bounce around like this was Calypso. Overshine cause I got the hyper glow. You think that you can hide, you think you can lay low. Roll up on your like Hawaii Five-O. Back out with my dreads and my Kango. Forget them away, just pass the Cisco. Yo, take a trip down to Mexico. Come back with that, that might make you psycho. Maximum frequency studio stereo. Sorry, this is it, but homeboy, I got to go.
Yo, I got step up in the place, and yo, I step correct. You all in check, I got that head nod that make you break your neck. I got you all in check, and you know we come to direct the disco jam. I got you all in check, throw your hands up in the air and never disrespect.
I'm reminded to say 50 years of hip hop and Busta Rhymes is still going strong. And right now, I'd like to hand it over to Justin so you can introduce your co-host, Brielle Claire.
Welcome back, everybody. It's now time for Brielle's next segment.
Thank you, Justin. And I am here with my next segment on definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning, so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have a deadline for you. So I will be defining the word brave. Ready to face and endure danger or pain, showing courage. And an example is how he had courage and showed that he was brave to keep playing baseball after the mean comments made by the fans. And it originates from, borrowed from the Italian pronounced bravo. And you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my definitions of brave.
We have a question. Why did you choose brave for your definition segment?
I chose brave because I feel like he was very brave to keep playing when, especially being the only African-American at the game, like playing. And I think it was very brave of him to do that, and it goes along with my segment.
Brielle, you chose Jackie Robinson, and you chose the word brave to, you know, do your definition to describe Jackie Robinson. But I have to ask you, what do you know about the Negro Baseball League?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. But I'm assuming that it was a baseball for African Americans.
That is correct. And Jackie Robinson was only one of the great baseball players that came out of the Negro Baseball League. Now, another person that is not or rarely spoken about is a gentleman by the name of Satchel Paige. Satchel Paige was a pitcher, and no one, while his age was like still like a mystery for a lot of people, he played and pitched up until the age of 60, if you can believe that, right? And was striking people out. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is when you talk about Jackie Robinson in one sentence, the next sentence that follows should be the Negro Baseball League and the fact that there were many great players that did not get a chance to play in the major leagues. And while Jackie Robinson did break through the racial barrier at that time, there were many great players who didn't have the same opportunity. Got it?
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Harris, a few words or comments about the Negro Baseball League and the other great players besides Jackie Robinson, and not to dim his light at all.
Yeah, well, the Negro, you know, because of the times, you know, like Brielle was saying, you know, there wasn't an opportunity for a lot of black people in the National Baseball League. So, you know, we were good at just about anything we put our minds to. So we started our own baseball league, seeing that they didn't want us in their league. And like you were saying, it was like Josh Gibson. There was a whole bunch of brothers that were excellent baseball players but just didn't have the opportunity to play amongst the other white players. And a lot of the reason was because they were so good. And they would have came, as soon as they came in, they would have dominated the game. You know, but they picked Jackie Robinson not just for his talent, but for his demeanor. You know, a lot of brothers were like brothers are everywhere. They could be kind of hot-headed. You know, somebody keep calling them the N-word a couple of times in a row, they're going to have something to say about it. They knew that Jackie Robinson would be able to take that and not retaliate, you know, because then that would possibly close the opportunity for other black people to be able to come into the National Baseball League, you know. So he was brave, but his character was different enough so that they were able to start with him. You know, brothers came after him, and you know, but he's the one that we talk about the most. But there were a lot of others, like Joe Campanella was a catcher that came from the Negro League. And he is in the Hall of Fame for being an excellent catcher, you know, and he was the second guy who came after Jackie Robinson. But there was a lot of stuff that was going on. And, you know, it was a time of change. You know, people was like, we gotta think differently. And, you know, some people still believe that we need to be separated and all this other stuff because they're caught up on the elementary color thing instead of the adult human thing. But that's just where we are.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for chiming in with your comment, Mr. Harris. And we're going to continue musically. And you're listening to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio.
Turn me round,
the sounds of Antoinette Montague from the great city of Newark, right? A personal friend of ours and the show. And right now I'd like for Brielle to do the honors of introducing Justin for his next segment.
All right, everybody. I will now like to introduce Justin for his next segment.
Thank you, Brielle. And it's now time for my segment of definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so we can achieve together the common basis. Well, my definition segment is on the word liberation, the act or fact of gaining equal rights or full social or economic opportunities for a particular group. And it is borrowed from Middle French and from Latin. And that is it, my segment of definitions.
So, Justin, why did you choose your definition for today?
I chose liberation because Herbie Wilson, he was an activist, and he tried to have equal rights like many other African American activists, and that's basically why I chose him.
Okay, so Justin, would you like to introduce Brielle for her next segment?
It is now time for Brielle's next segment of diamonds.
So I am here with my next segment on Benjamin Banneker. Benjamin Banneker was born on November 9th, 1731. He lived near Baltimore with his father. He mostly taught himself subjects and received the information from borrowed books. He loved math the most. In his 20s, he built a wooden clock that kept time. In 1788, he began to make huge calculations. He predicted a solar eclipse that occurred in 1789. He made more observations while working with Andrew Ellicott. He made an essay about slavery and civil rights and gave it to the President Thomas Jefferson. He continued to write about the essays, although unfortunately, he died on 1806, October 19th, and that is it for my segment on Benjamin Banneker.
We all have a question. What motivated you to choose Benjamin Banneker?
What motivated me to choose Benjamin Banneker was because he was very smart, especially being a black person, and he was able to build a wooden clock with his mathematics so that it's easier to tell time. And I feel like that was very interesting.
Okay, well, hold on, Justin, just a moment. We need to talk about Benjamin Banneker because there's a lot more to him than what you've pretty much given to us. And before I chime in, right, I'd like to, for Mr. Harris to have an opportunity to make a comment as it pertains to Benjamin Banneker.
Yeah, Benjamin Banneker, he was just all the things that Brielle said. He was good at a whole lot of things. But one of the things that he's been known for, well, a few things. One of them is he wrote an almanac. And an almanac is just something that tells you, gives you predictions about what the weather's going to be, when it's a good time to plant, when it's a good time to do a lot of things. But one of the big things that he was known for, the guy who was going to write the plans for Washington, D.C., was a French guy. And Benjamin Banneker worked with him. And for some reason, there was a beef between the French guy and George Washington and all those stuff. So he left. So Benjamin Banneker memorized the plans that the original guy had and wrote the plans for the setup for Washington, D.C. If you've ever seen pictures of it, it's like a Masonic sign. And it was a lot of stuff that was in it that had to do with masonry, you know, and he was able to remember just about everything in detail. You know, the brother had an excellent intellect, you know, and it was good that, you know, the clock was a good thing. He came up with some other things. I don't remember all of them offhand, but he was I call him a genius. I call him a genius because he was able to do things that other people weren't able to do, and he did it effortlessly. And, you know, Benjamin Banneker should always be known for that also.
Okay. I want to chime in and say I know that in your research, Brielle, it did not tell you who his great-great-grandfather was. Benjamin Banneker's great-great-grandfather was a slave. And during this particular time in history, his great-great-grandfather was purchased by a European woman who had migrated here in America. And one day she decided, she had a farm that she would go down and purchase a slave. I hate to say it, but that's what it boiled down to. Cutting to the chase, she purchased Benjamin Banneker's great-great-grandfather and later on fell in love and married him. And as a result, she found out that he was taken from royalty in Africa and that he was familiar with agriculture and irrigation. Now, if you don't know what irrigation is a form of watering plants on a farm. And because of his irrigation skills and his planting skills, he became popular in the community that he lived in. And he helped the other farmers in that particular area and became very popular. Now, his grandmother later on, you know, of course they had children, and the grandmother, they passed down this information, and this is how you get a Benjamin Banneker who is ahead of his time and very intelligent because of the understanding of the importance of education and passing on the legacy of that important history of the family. And I trust you kind of got that, but that's a short version, right, of Benjamin Banneker and his great-great-grandfather. Right now, I'm going to play a song.
I remember House before it was called House. I remember House when House respected House. I remember House when House grew from the roots of House. I remember House when House was soul music and R&B before House was disco. Before House was disco. I remember House before the super clubs. I remember House when people knew the lyrics of House. I remember House before record labels sold the house. I remember House when House was about love. House was about love. I remember House. smooth as emotion. I remember house when it was just one house. I remember house when house had artists, songwriters, and personalities. I remember house when you didn't have to be a DJ just to be into house. I remember house when house was broke. I remember house when house was done in the house. I remember house when it was a spiritual thing. It was a spiritual thing. I remember house.
Do you remember house? Do you remember house? Do you remember house?
All right. Okay, Brielle and Justin, do you remember house music? Of course not, right? Anyway. I want you two guys to take it over and knock out the rest of our segments that we have lined up.
Welcome back, everybody. And it is now time for Justin's next segment on diamonds.
His things like your diamonds. Each prism is the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Book is your diamond of see the reflection of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the words of your ancestors. If you believe, you are bound to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on Paul Robinson. Paul Robinson was a Renaissance man who spent most of his life fighting injustice, for which he was roundly persecuted. He was an athlete, lawyer, singer, author, and an activist. Robinson attended Rutgers University, after which he attended law school at Columbia University in New York. With a career that spanned nearly 50 years, Robinson was one of the best paid performers in the country. He brought African-American spirituals to people who did not see it as a serious musical form. And again, I'm still host Justin Hill, and that's it for my segment of Diamonds.
And Justin, I have a little quick question for you. So what motivated you to do your segment for today?
I chose Paul Robinson because he connects with my definition segment of charismatic. Now it is now time for Brielle's segment of definition.
So I am now going to be doing my last segment for today. Thank you, Justin, which is definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for you. Inventor. A person who invented a particular process or device, who invents things as an occupation. For an example, he invented a wooden clock, and it originates from the Latin verb invent. And again, that is Brielle, and that is it for my last segment for today, which was on definition.
Brielle, why did you choose invention for your definition segment?
I chose inventor because he was an African-American who invented a wooden clock so that people would be able to tell time.
Brielle, would you please introduce Justin?
Okay. We are now going to be introducing Justin.
Thank you, Leo. And it's now time for my last segment of today, which is on charismatic. This segment provides the listener with words and the meanings that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have defined for us. And charismatic is a person who possesses special traits that attract, inspire, or fascinate other people. It is also a Greek word.
And now, Justin, so why did you choose your definition for today?
I chose charismatic for today as my definition because it describes Paul Robinson as a Renaissance man, and that is why I chose him. And again, I am student host Justin Hill on WSOU.
All right. Mr. Harris, you know, I listen to the segments, and I know I'm a little critical, but could you please help them out? You know, because Benjamin Banneker, to me, is more than just a clockmaker for people to tell time, Brielle, right? And Paul Robinson, right, why he attended Rutgers, right, he's from New Jersey, Justin, and they named buildings after him in New Jersey, the Robinson Center, not just in Newark, New Jersey, but in Edison or New Brunswick. Okay, yeah, the campus. Mr. Harris, help me out here.
Oh, as far as Paul Robeson, you know, he was a lot heavier than just entertainer. And, you know, even though he did talk about activism, he was also blackballed, you know, during the 50s when they were thinking everybody was a communist because he was...
Wait a minute.
He wasn't
but
about
tell,
what was going
tell,
on in the future.
Yeah, but tell Justin what being blackballed means.
Oh, being blackballed is like, you know, because it's like you were saying earlier that he was an actor. He was one of the highest paid actors that was doing stuff at the time. And when somebody blackballs you, you know, anything with black, you got to know is going to be bad. You know, so they said when they blackballed you, they means they was blocking a lot of opportunities for him to work as an actor, as a singer, and on Broadway, because he did a lot of things, but they just put like a little check next to his name. Whenever he would come up for a part or come up for something, this is in America, he would have to leave the country to actually do stuff. And, you know, and that's something that, you know, has been done to a lot of people, black and white. You know, if you don't go with the flow of the dominant society, they will try to hurt you. They did the same thing to Muhammad Ali when he said he wouldn't go into the service because of his religious beliefs. They said, okay, well, if that's the case, then you can't fight in America no more. And we're going to take your passport so you can't go nowhere else and fight. That's a way of blackballing people, you know. And he was... And, you know, and one of the things, because he said he went to Rutgers, and he was on the football team. He was an All-American. And back in the early 1900s, whenever all the All-Americans from around the country would take a picture and you know, and then would go to the White House and stuff like that, he was an All-American, but he wasn't allowed to be in the picture that year. That was the only year that there was one person missing from the All-American national picture. Is because he was black, you know, and we got to understand that it's always going to be a certain segment of society that likes the good old days, but not understanding that the good old days wasn't necessarily good old days for black people. They might have been good old days for others, but we really never had any good old days in this country. We've had to fight and struggle for every little bit that we got, and Paul Robeson was in the forefront of doing a lot of that. Extremely articulate, you know, extremely forceful in what he did. And, you know, he was standing alone almost. And that's a good place to be. Even when everybody else is wrong, I'm going to stand up and be right.
Okay, I'm going to let that be your last word and ask Justin to close us out.
Thank you, Mr. Harris, for your feedback. And now it is now time for us to close out the show. Well, me to close out the show. And I would like to thank everyone for joining us on video. Make sure you go on 8.5 to check out our live show. And Questy's video is the best youth radio.
Best youth radio.
Best youth radio.